You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto. We are glad you are joining us this fine spring evening. How are you doing, Art?
I am doing well. I'm very excited. I have to hurry up because once the show's over, I have to scoot down to Rogers Arena.
Why?
Because I got tickets to the game tonight.
You do?
How
did you do that?
I don't want to say, but let's just say I know the right people.
You do?
And it's good to be me today.
Now, do you have good seats?
I searched on the web, the seating chart. I think we're behind one of the goals.
Okay, now.
But we're on the lower level.
Okay, well, last home game, the final home game of the year, that awesome game against the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Entertainment. It was nowhere to be found. But my loving daughter, who owed me tickets to the Giants. She owed us a family pack of tickets to the Giants for Christmas. But, of course, their season's passed, and she didn't get the tickets. So she found some bizarre deal online, and she bought tickets. So Shannon and I went to the last of the Anaheim game, and we sat in the club section.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. The club section was quite nice. Big seats and people who sit very quietly.
Well, because they get to see I've been lucky. I've been to two games so far this year. One was in the nosebleeds. Girlfriend gave it to me for Valentine's Day. Very nice. But we were sitting with a bunch of kids, which was good and bad. One, it was good because they were super excited. Probably most of the first games I've ever been to. It was just really like a lot of energy, and everyone was having a great time. Cameras came to see us and shot us on the big screen. And then the second game I went to, I was down. I had great seats, but they were the company seats, and you're sitting around people who go to every single game, and you know
a little
it's
more
just
controlled.
Yeah, this is something they've seen. There has to be a super crazy exciting activity in order for them to get out of their seats.
Well, a little. We better pull us back to technology because we are a technology show. But I'm not sure if you're aware of my past, but for the better part of 12 years, I operated the scoreboard system at the Pacific Coliseum, the computer system there. Did you know that, Art?
You told me that a while ago. I forgot,
though. Yeah, you forgot it. So I worked all of the games, all from about 89 until 95 when we moved to it had to be earlier than that because we moved to General Motors Place, at the time called General Motors Place, in 1995. No. Yes. 95
yeah.
It opened. So it would have been from about 1983. I did the games at the Coliseum. So it was a pretty good time.
So you're the guy who created the clapping hands
with four fingers. Yeah, the four fingers.
Why
hands.
The four? You just thought
because the resolution of that board was 64 pixels by 64 pixels, and in that 64 pixels were four different. It was a matrix of four colors. So you actually, if you divide 64 by four, you end up with 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 12? No.
No.
You end up with, what is 64 divided by 4? It's a, we should know this.
18.
So you actually end up with only 18 red pixels in a row, 18 blue pixels in a row. And then the next one over is, 18 green. And then you can imagine the creating any images that look decent at all. And we were on a Unix system. It was not a nice graphical user interface. We did this all by typing in with text. There was no mouse involved. All of the programming was done by a keyboard, typing in commands. It was a challenge to make anything. But and so we would show up several hours before the game and build all of the different graphical elements and all the ads and welcoming the people from whoever happened to be there. And then I built the phonometer or fanometer. I'm not sure which one.
I always want a fanometer.
It wasn't real. As the crowd got louder, there was no measuring stick out there that or thing that measured the actual volume. It was me or Bruce or Jim pushing a number.
So are you telling me that if there was no one in the room or no one decided to cheer at the time, you could
phenomenon
just
would just sit there?
Were you changing it like as people were cheering?
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. Programming. Yeah. We're like running new files as we go, and we're sending files. So there's actually two operators had to operate the game. One person was building new graphics and new elements as the game went on and new announcements, and the other person was displaying all of the preset announcements that we'd put together. It was quite a process. It was quite a process. But you know what was fun? But the most memorable was, of course, the 94 run. And
that was my graduation year.
Yeah, was it 94?
Yes,
yeah,
it was 94. Yeah. Of course it was 94.
And, oh my gosh, it was working Game 6. I can remember showing up at the arena, and I was so nervous. I was more nervous before any time I did theater or television or any event in my life. I was more nervous before that game, and I was so glad that I had something to do to sit there and actually, you know, was able to concentrate on work a little bit and build a graphic. So the graphic that says that you see in some of the shots of those days, just as the after we when we scored what was it? It was the overtime goal against Toronto when we scored the goal to go to the Stanley Cup final, and it was the Dave Babbitt shot from the point that happened right in front of me, and that we win, we're going to the Stanley Cup. All of those graphics that are flashing on the scoreboard as you see the long shot, that was me putting all that stuff up. See, I'm a part of it.
Well done.
Yeah, and you never hear Jim Robson saying, you know,
thanks,
he will put up graphics. You know he will put up graphics. He will put up graphics. Yeah, you never hear Jim Robson saying that.
You were the unsung hero.
No, I wasn't.
You were the sixth person. Well, seventh, I guess.
But we were on headset with people like Brian Burke. He was on the headset because he would tell us what to say occasionally. And he was very involved in what was the in-arena conversation going on. So he wasn't talking to us all the time, but he had access to us, and he had a headset there, and he could come on and chat with us occasionally. Wow. If he didn't like what we were putting up, he would let us know.
That's scary.
In his Brian Burkean style.
So did you actually get to watch most of the game?
Yeah, you're watching the game because you're reacting to it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's all about reaction. It's all about interaction. That's what sports is all about, right? It's a dialogue. We're going to be talking sports today. We got lots of sports coming.
I hope so.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at a very cool sports product. I want to point out a couple of events coming. I'm kind of excited. Tomorrow morning, I get to speak at a showcase with Brett Wilson from the Dragon's Den. How exciting is that?
Okay, I know who Brett Wilson is. Yes, I interviewed him on another show not too long ago.
Was he good? Was he nice?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's passionate, and that's where a lot of his success comes from just passion. In many things, including philanthropy.
Looking forward to meeting him. There's a showcase at the Van City Theater tomorrow morning, and for the agency that I do speaking for, Speaker Spotlight, has some of their I guess premier speakers. I'm putting myself in that august crowd, but we're doing a little showcase. But it's different for me. You know, when you do normal keynotes, you normally get like an hour and a half to talk. We each get 20 minutes to talk, so you got to impress this crowd of very important people in 20 minutes. So I'm a little nervous. A little bit nervous. And letting people know, we've also booked, and there are early bird tickets available. We're doing Protectivity again, the productivity workshop, which is so darned popular. How many emails do you have in your inbox, Art?
Oh, geez. Like that I haven't deleted?
Yeah.
In the thousands.
Yeah, see, that's wrong.
I know.
You got to come to the workshop.
Okay.
That's what we teach you. We teach you how to overcome the, you know, email overload and the productivity paradox.
I usually wait until the server guy from Montreal says, everyone's emails are way too heavy. If you do us a favor and clean out. And then about 2.5 years worth of emails I start going through.
Oh, see, and so you have all this technology at your fingertips, and instead of using the technology to be organized, you use your eyeballs and your brain to keep organized and go through the stuff. All of this stuff at your fingertips. That's what we teach.
Where I've gotten to myself today.
Yes. Well, we could change that. So if you go to protectivity.ca, protectivity.ca, we are doing a series of workshops. So the first one, May 23rd, at the Hollyburn Club.
Fancy.
But there's still some early bird tickets available, just a few of them. So if you jump on now, you can get an early bird ticket, and you can get for a substantial discount.
Go for Protectivity. For the view.
We got a great lineup of speakers. Great lineup of speakers at this.
And
this
lunch? Event. How's the lunch going?
The lunch should be good. You got to pay for lunch separately though, because we're cheap.
Okay.
But the lunch is going to be like a soup and sandwich thing, but a West Van soup and sandwich thing. So the sandwiches will probably be on bread that has seeds in it.
Yes, of course.
I'm thinking. We should take a break, but when we come back, we're going to stay on the sports theme a little bit today. We're going to be joined by Brett Gilmer, who is they've started a new online social network for sports addicts. It's called Chirp Locker. We'll be taking a look at that when we return in just a few seconds.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for DottoTech? Visit our website at DottoTech.com and click on Contact Us. DottoTech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Brett Gilmer is a sports fan, a entrepreneur, and he likes to talk trash, I think. He joins us now in studio. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Now, you wrote me and you said, hey, we're a local company. We're looking for a leg up. We're looking to get a little bit of information out about our website, and it's called Chirp Locker, C-H-I-R-P, Locker. And it's all about fans chirping at each other.
It's so all about
tell,
fans.
Tell me about where the idea for the site came from.
I'm from Vancouver, and the last time the Canucks went for a run to the Cup, this famous series against Boston in the finals, not too long ago, ended eventually in a
debacle.
Debacle, won't say it. Before that, the entire city was mad with Canuck fever. Mm-hmm. I'd go out, watch the game at the bar. And then after the game, it would flow into the street. It was a party in the street. It was crazy. It was like the Olympics kind of thing, that kind of energy. And Facebook was just filled with everyone talking about the Canucks, talking mm-hmm. about the series. There was a couple of videos on YouTube, kind of fans battling back and forth about why the Canucks are good, why Boston's good. That Johnny Canuck video was really popular. A few things. And we're just looking around. Me and my buddies are sitting around watching the game, having a couple drinks, and just think, God, I wonder, you know, who does really have the best fans? That was the initial question we have. That was kind of the question that sparked it all. So what team had the best fans? How could we quantify or kind of pull it together and create a community for everything on Twitter, everything on Facebook, everything on YouTube, everything that was going on that was disjointed? So nothing was really unifying this. And we thought, God, if we could just build something that unified this and brought it into a razor focus, and fans could compete head to head against the fans of other teams that are playing in the context of that game. So for example, the Stanley Cup Finals, Canuck fans versus Bruins fans, who's better, who's mm-hmm. going to win? And then from there, we kind of mulled it over and talked about it for a while. And we're like, no, this is really, I think we really got something here. And we knew, I'm not technical by trade. So, I work in wealth management by day. But I have a long history of hockey in my background. I played some NCAA hockey and junior hockey in Canada. And so I know hockey well. I think we could do this. I know some friends who are developers and graphic artists, and I think I can maybe, you know, get them excited about it. So me and my one other friend who we dreamed this up, we contacted our one friend, a developer, and he's like, yeah, it's a really good idea too. I really like it. And so we started to come up with some ideas, and about over a year later, working out part-time, we have what is Chirp Locker, which is a functional beta site.
So this is a social network, really, is what you're trying to build. Is because it's a place we go, we visit. And is your competition, I guess, is the best way to put it, but is it the chat forums in TSN and Sportsnet and the team forums where the different teams go to talk, and then you get fans from other teams coming in and trolling those fans and trying to talk smack with them? Is that really what it's kind of all about?
Exactly. It's unifying everything. So there's lots of separated mechanisms for fans to communicate with each other and mm-hmm. to kind of talk smack. What we wanted to do is unify, bring everything under one. So basically one community for sports fans who want to talk like this and want to share information. And that was the big goal. Now, the other thing is we bring a razor sharp focus to it and creating head-to-head competitions on a game-per-game basis. So every game, there's actually a new, we'll call it, it's technically a web page, but it's a game page.
Okay.
At the end of the game, that game's over, and so is all that conversation. It's kind of like a fresh sheet of ice. Zamboni comes on, cleans the ice, and there's a new story told.
Okay.
And that happens every time. And like in the real sports, there is a winner and a loser, and that's recorded down in the records of who won that game and who didn't for the fans. So a fan team, or even if your team is terrible like Toronto for so long, hey, Toronto, doing good now, though.
They're not.
Doing good now. Yeah. Doing good now. I love it. And they could have had the best fans, and they could have went 82-0 every year for the fan games. they could be the best fans in the league without the best team in the league.
Ah, okay.
So now we're looking at a couple things. And so it really gets into fan pride, and you want to represent your team. And that's what we wanted to do, is let people represent their team in a community just for sports fans.
Now, are you, you're not just limited to posting text. Can you post other things? Can you post video and all those sorts of other things, or is it just text for now?
Give it a day or two, you'll post videos. We're okay. Just getting that lined up. So it is beta. We're making some tweaks. Our development hours have been down lately due to other conflicts, but we're always improving, and we're getting a few things in there now.
So if you if people are interested right now, they go to chirplocker.com and they sign up. And what do they see when they come to Chirp Locker?
They'll see our splash page. And what we want to do is connect with their Facebook or Twitter account.
Okay.
And then that will start the onboarding process so they can create their account. You can do it with just an email and username. But what we want to do is leverage the social networks that are existing that we already use. So if you log in with Facebook and then add your Twitter account, kind of a Twitter connect, very common stuff now. When you chirp, once you're in a game, you can actually push it out to my Twitter account, to my Facebook page.
Okay.
And so you have one submission, kind of like a Hootsuite, if those are familiar with it.
So if I signed up with my Twitter account, which is how I did it,
yeah.
Although I've got a different name now. I came up with a great username. People will have to come to Chirp Locker to see my name, but it's an awesome username because usernames are everything.
Yeah.
But so now when I post on Chirp Locker, is it automatically posted on my Twitter account?
There's a sharing option in there, so you can put turn sharing on or off.
Okay, got it. And I see it right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you decide to share, you can push it out. So only say it once. And what that actually does is it provides a link back to this game. So mm-hmm. if your friends see it, they can see the link. They click on it in their Facebook page. It goes right back to the game. They can see what you said in the context of what you said it now too.
Okay. I got to bring Art in. Art, have you signed up for Chirp Locker now? Because you're like going to be at the game tonight.
Yeah, I signed up. And Art chirps and giggles.
Art chirps and giggles. Now, are you going to... So you can tweet from the game tonight. Now, if Art wants to do it from a smartphone, does he go through your... Is the link backwards from Twitter or just from... If he posts in Chirp Locker?
It'll go back to the actual site
from
Twitter.
So Art's got an iPhone, so he can just hop into the site and he'll...
The mobile build isn't the greatest yet.
That's what we
want to do. But
Art
works.
Can't tell. Art
works.
Can't.
I don't know.
What's also what you can do, because we kind of thought, you know, to build mobile apps and so much work right away, well, why don't we just leverage what's already out there? So if you use Twitter now,
mm-hmm.
tweet away, hashtag Chirp Locker, hashtag your team's name, I have to post that pretty quick here, but just so everyone's on the same page, but if you do NHL Canucks hashtag, so the combination of the two basically says, okay, that qualifies, and it draws it in against
your profile. So you got to use up a lot of your tweet, though, in hashtag Chirp Locker, hashtag NHL Canucks.
Yep.
And so you're going to do that tonight, Art? Tweet from the game?
Yep.
Will you tweet from the game?
I will tweet from the game.
And are you going to talk trash? Are you good at talking trash?
No, because the fear is that whoever I'm talking trash to might be sitting behind me.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I mean online, where it's safe.
I know, but I'm just saying, what if there's a San Jose Chirp Locker fan in Vancouver? And
okay.
You know?
So it's basically fear.
Yeah, absolutely. I chirp from the darkness. I'm like the opposite of Batman.
Brett, do you expect people to be? Do you expect this to be a lot of smack talking? You think there's going to be intelligent discourse on your site?
I think social. We have this conversation all the time. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a bunch of people saying immature, stupid things, a lot of swearing, and social media has evolved. Facebook's been around for a while. Twitter's been around for a while. What happens if you do that now on your Facebook page, on your Twitter page? People unfollow you, they unfriend you. There's social recourse for it now. And the mm-hmm. same thing's going to happen here. And with our site, there's a few mechanisms which you've actually implemented because it is a game as well. It's not just a social network, so it's a game. And so what you can do is the same model as Twitter, you follow people. If you don't want to follow them, unfollow them.
Okay. Let's talk about the game side because so now I'm on the site. I have signed in. By the way, my username is Fish and Chirps. Pretty good.
I like it.
It's good. So I'm there, and I've just made a post on your site.
Yeah.
Which is why did it seem destiny for Lou to start tonight? Because apparently Luongo is starting the hockey game tonight.
Yeah.
So how do I get kudos? How do I get points? How do I win something for my team?
So it's in its infancy right now because we're kind of just testing out the main thing, but it's going to get more robust. But what you do basically now is people will like your comment.
Okay.
And what you try to do is you create thought or say evoking content where people will want to comment on your post.
Okay.
And the more activity you can drum up and more likes you can get, the higher value your post would be and actually be a score attached to that.
Art, go into the site and like my post and say something intelligent and pithy.
That's going to be tough, but I will try right now.
Just give it a like.
I'm on it.
Just give it a like.
I want him to comment. I want to see Art's avatar. Okay.
Okay.
So it's just going to be voted up and out. And you're hoping you're going to build a little bit more of a sophisticated engine?
More of a Reddit kind of model, and that ties in the gameplay with the amount of upvotes and downvotes you give out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets a little more complex, and we're developing that next. But like I say, it takes a lot of dev hours, and we're on the roadmap.
Now you're in the proselytization stage where you're trying to get people on board. Right?
Correct.
So, I don't mean to embarrass you if you haven't put any of these things in place, but I'm going to ask, is there an automatic invite system or something like that where when I sign up, you say, who are your best friends, sports friends, and can you automatically invite them the way that Facebook does in such a fine and irritating manner?
We're working on it, definitely.
Okay, you're working on that. I think that's important to get.
Definitely.
Because especially... you want to know who my friends are that are Toronto Maple Leaf or San Jose Shark
Definitely.
Friends, because those are the ones we want to invite because we want to engage in mano-a-mano verbal combat with them.
Definitely.
Did you like me, Art?
I did.
Okay, let me just refresh. I'm taking a look at this as we go. Isn't this make great radio? I'm refreshing my page now and looking at it. Chirplock, and there it is. Now, I don't see any result. It might take a while for it to resolve through it. It should be done, you're saying?
It should have 2 points under your comp.
Because I like myself already.
And I'm following you.
So you don't get
points. Oh, you said to follow me, too.
I'm your first follower.
So you don't get points for liking your own content.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because that just makes sense.
Well, I was hoping you just hadn't figured that out yet. Well, I have 1 point, but it's okay. We will, so that's good. And following. Okay, so how did you choose to follow me, Art?
Well, when I went to your profile.
Oh, okay.
It's very similar to Twitter.
Okay, good. So I've got followers. And in the Chirp Locker world, I'm a monster now because I have follower.
Yeah.
So chirplocker.com is the site. Obviously, the Vancouver fans are going to thump the San Jose fans for the first couple of games here because nobody in San Jose knows about it yet, but hopefully they'll find out. You're going to be advertising or going in and chirping at them on the on their fan boards.
I am indeed.
And anybody else that wants to do it can do it as well. A great way to get involved in the dialogue. Now, one last question is, do you think that the most activity is going to take place during the game or in the pre- and post-game time frames?
That's a really, really good question. I do think that it's going to be during the game, but events can trigger a lot of activity. So mm-hmm. if something's happened before, who's the goalie going to be? If there's something, a story building up to that, then yes, maybe before. But most of the time, it'll probably be during the game when big plays happen, things happen, bad calls, big goals, responses to that. Or if it's after the game, maybe someone like Duncan Keith comes out and says something which is a little controversial,
yes, like, yeah.
and then that spurs something. So,
yeah, because his rocket science comments about female referees at last game were awesome. And Don Cherry, of course, following up was just classic Cherry. Just yes, I have not moved from the 1950s in my mind.
Do you think the human resources desk at the CBC is right next to the coach's corner desk?
I don't think he said anything that like they're going to get sued for. But I know he said things that just offended exactly half of the population. And
I think everyone's used to it, though. Don,
but did you see Ron McLean's eyes just rolling, just going, and just the he looked like a rabbit caught in the headlights or a deer caught in the headlights, didn't he? Because he's just like, Don going to say now, and how much fallout is there going to be? This is going to cause a chirp storm.
it was that look like we're just coworkers, not friends.
Yes, yes.
Everybody, everyone watching.
Yeah, don't blame McLean. I'll offend people all on my own in other ways. So Chirp Locker is the site. Brett Gilmore is my guest. Thanks a lot, and let us know how it goes, Brett.
Great, thanks so much.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Julian Saunders from London Drugs joins me. How is Julian this fine day?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm not bad. I can't complain. I really can't complain. Now, listen, when I asked you what you wanted to talk about today, you brought up something which I know is near and dear to your heart. It's the whole idea of building your own internet, basically.
That's right. Yeah, I've always liked having access to my files, especially my photos and videos when I'm not at home. I want to be able to pull them up wherever I am.
And back in the day, I can remember back when we did the TV show, we used to show Windows Home Server. We did a few demos for it. It was towards the end of our run, so it was like 4 years ago. And it was an HP box. It was a big, big, big computer, and it was unbelievably technically difficult to set up. As a matter of fact, I mean, the product line languished and then died. But it was basically a server in a box, so allowing you to dial into your home drives from anywhere using the internet, basically an IP tunnel coming in. And though, of course, those were the days when setting up a sling box required, you know, at least a half a roll of tape on your glasses before you could do that. That's become a lot easier. But this setting up your own network drive at home has become ridiculously easy. That's the reason
right.
We're not on the air with a TV show anymore, because we don't have to show people that. I mean, I can still remember setting that thing up, and it took me hours of preparation to get that thing to work. And then it was just sort of.
Well, and I tinkered with a few different versions of file servers on computers, too. I used to take my old computers. I know I had a G3 iMac, one of those big dome ones, for a long time, with hard drives connected to it. And I would spend hours configuring it just so I could dial into it over a FTP. Mm-hmm. And it would always go down. I would forget little settings here and there, and I thought I knew what I was doing. It was such a – you need a degree, and an advanced degree in neuroscience to be able to set that up.
Yeah, well, and no more. Now for $60, you can buy yourself a Pogo plug, and you're off to the races.
You got it. Yep. That's one of the ones that I've been using for quite a while. The Pogo plug's just a little black box. You leave it at home. You plug it into your router. And it has a USB port on it. So you take an external hard drive, maybe one that you already own, and you plug it into the Pogo plug. You connect the Pogo plug to your router, and then you can access that hard drive from anywhere through a mobile app or through a Pogo plug website.
And you can access it with your phone, with your computer. You can just access it from a browser. You can access it in. Now, can you back your stuff up to the Pogo plug as well? Like if you're on the road and you've got a notebook, can you set a backup utility so that it's backing up to your home system?
Absolutely, yeah. You can even back up your portable device. There's an app for Android and iOS that back up your camera roll and documents. Android has a more powerful backup feature built in it because of the flexibility of the operating system. Mm-hmm. It'll back up everything but your apps on your Android. And on your iOS device, it'll back up any videos and photos, and it knows what changed, so it'll only take what's new. That's actually how I share or how I get my iPhone photos off of the phones. I just back them up every night. Then when I want them, I pull up the drive on a computer and can edit them like they were on a regular camera.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I almost think that this product is – it's going to sound ridiculous, but it's almost too inexpensive. What it does technically – I mean, because people
for sure,
realize,
yeah,
for $60, it's like you know, you spend that much money on a nice case for your iPad.
Exactly, yeah, and it gives you the ability to do a quick link to share them too. I know I've posted my Pogo from my Pogo plug right to Twitter just with two clicks.
Yeah,
it's insane how powerful it is. It lets you access your music too. I have a gigantic music library. It's all sitting on my Pogo plug. If I'm in my car in the middle of nowhere with cell reception, I can go into my Pogo plug app on my phone and listen to music listen to the 220 gigs of music that I have at home. So.
And you can share drives. You can share files with other people, so you can use it for file sharing. So for the people out there who are intrigued by Dropbox but don't like the idea of their content living on somebody else's servers, which is an issue for some people, this gives you all the functionality of a tool like a Dropbox,
but you control the data. You can unplug your drive, and then nobody can gain access to it at all, period.
Exactly, and you don't have to pay a subscription to get a large amount of storage. I have a 2-terabyte hard drive sitting on it. That would probably be an astronomical price on Dropbox or even SkyDrive.
Yes, and so that's exactly, you know, for the cost of a one-year subscription for a reasonable amount of data on Dropbox. Not that I don't like Dropbox. I do love the convenience of Dropbox, but this is another way to go. If you're a little more technically inclined, if you want a little bit more control, $60 on a hard drive, and it does it. Now, there's a couple of new players in the market as well.
Yeah, there's a new network-attached storage drive from Buffalo. So network-attached storage is called NAS, is the way that most people say it. And they're basically a hard drive that just plugs in with an Ethernet cable to your router, so it doesn't plug in USB to your computer. And the new NAS drive from Buffalo supports Time Machine and Windows backups. You get a terabyte of storage for $169.99, so $170. And basically, it has mobile apps or web interface, so you can easily pull up the app on your Android or iPhone and see what's on the drive. You can even tell it, you can even check out your backup status to make sure your computer at home got backed up when you're on the road. And it's nice that it supports Time Machine, because then you can just have it as your wireless backup, and it's more affordable than the Time Capsule.
Now, this is more, so the Buffalo NAS drive is more about backup, whereas the Pogo plug is more about file sharing. Have I kind of hit it?
Yeah, basically. It also, the Buffalo will also allow you to do most of what the Pogo plug does, but the Pogo plug has its own processor and memory just to do things like take a video file and change it from one format while it's streaming it to a device so that device can play it.
Oh.
So there's a bunch of tricks that the Pogo plug pulls in the background. It's also easier with the Pogo plug to do the sharing aspects. So the Buffalo one's a little bit more technical, but if you want more backup and then the odd access to, you know, maybe your history of documents, then the Buffalo would be a great choice, because you can remotely access the backup that you've done.
And of course, the really cool kids have both.
Well, and you don't have to be a wizard to set up the Buffalo. It's a 3-step process, and it's fairly straightforward. It is a little slower when you're transferring a large amount of data from the computer over the network, even if you have a nice router. And that's why the Pogo plug's a nice choice for a lot of people. You can plug in with the cord with a USB drive, throw everything from the computer onto your hard drive, and then plug the hard drive into the Pogo plug. So a little more flexibility in storage too.
Now, does it have additional USB ports so that I can add more storage? Because 1 terabyte, although it sounds like a lot, isn't all that much these days.
It has one, but it has a couple of limitations. So it's really designed to be the only one, and then if you need to expand it, you just buy a second drive.
Ah, okay. So now the one terabyte is $169. What's a 2 terabyte?
The 2 terabyte is $239.
Yeah. I'm starting to fill up my 1 terabyte Time Machine. It's starting to. But I do a lot of video stuff. But yeah, I'm having to expand it.
You got it. Yeah, and with all backups, it's just a matter of time.
Man, I can remember when I started out back in the day, Julian, before you was born, we used to sell Macintosh SEs with a 20 megabyte hard drive, 20 megabytes, and it was like, good Lord, what are we going to do with all of this storage? We will never fill up 20 megabytes now. I have, you know, it's just staggering. You know, I think my credit card has more than 20 megabytes of storage.
I think the phones we use today, I think just what's running the buttons underneath has more than that.
Yeah, it's just insane.
Just remember what the button does.
There you go. Now, you did it. You did give me a third option here. What's the D-Link SharePoint story?
Well, D-Link has a couple of routers out. It's on their higher-end routers. So if you're in the market for some better Wi-Fi coverage and more media streaming, you might want to check out the D-Link SharePort-enabled routers, which is their term for a USB port right on your router. So it's the similar idea as a Pogo plug, but you buy a wireless router and then connect your hard drive to it. Then you can use D-Link website or an app. I've played around and experimented with mydlink.com, using it with storage on a SharePort router. And it was very quick and easy. It doesn't have as many share features. It's not as it doesn't have as many bells and whistles. But if you want just good access to your photos and videos, backup of your mobile device, and you don't really need all of the sharing features, then a D-Link SharePort might be a great choice for you. You get the router too. My pick right now is the new wireless AC stuff because it's the next step in wireless standards. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go with a MyD-Link enabled router, I would recommend the AC1750. Again, not a very savvy name for a router, but it's got all of the speeds and feeds that you'd want for gaming or lots of video chats, and it also has the SharePort, so it gives you that basic access and backup too, so you can quickly do your backups.
Great. And we will have links to all of these products on our website, but certainly the Pogo Plug seems like a real winner for $60. It's worth investing in.
You got it. And check our website for a sale on the Pogo Plug too. Oh. You never know, if it goes on sale, it's an even better deal.
Even better. Julian Saunders, thanks so much for your time, sir.
Thanks again, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or a question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from Toronto is the head of marketing for Salesforce in Canada, Rennie Monahan. Rennie, thanks for joining me. I guess, are you guys taking time away from being so excited about the Leafs being in the playoffs? Is that you have time to actually do work?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting here. We haven't lit the building up blue or red yet, but obviously everybody's watching.
Yeah, it'll be well. It's good to finally have them on board in the playoffs. I mean, in Vancouver, we've been a little bit spoiled lately, but of course, and massively disappointed as well. But we should talk business instead of hockey. But it is the beginning of the playoffs, so we're thinking a lot of hockey this week's show. Talk to me a little bit about Salesforce. I think most of my listeners have heard of Salesforce, but probably don't have a real firm understanding of what Salesforce is. Do you have like a 50-word description of what Salesforce brings to the table?
Yeah, sure. Hopefully I can do it in shorter than that. We've been around about 14 years, so lots of people may have heard of Salesforce, you know, over the last little bit. But what we're really doing today is that we're the enterprise cloud computing company. We kind of pioneered, and we're the driver and the evangelist for this new model of, you know, technology and how companies are leveraging technology. And what we're really focused on is helping our customers become what we call customer companies.
You talked about cloud computing, and that, and I didn't realize you'd been around for 14 years already. That is a goodly amount of time. But you really were one of the pioneers in the concept that the internet should become an enabler a lot for communication, allowing the data to reside not necessarily on people's individual devices, but the important information be accessible through the network to all of the different users who need access to it in whatever form they need to consume it in. So you had these tools that were that allowed salespeople to track and pipeline sales leads, their managers to manage that information, and climbing up the food chain, the data would appear in different forms, but it was all being housed online so that everybody could access it from whatever device they happened to be on. And then when the smartphone came about, well, that was just manna from heaven as far as you guys were concerned.
Yeah, well, we're certainly really excited about what's happened recently, right? So if you think about the genesis of the company was really created 14 years ago when we saw these major internet giants and how successful they were in, you know, serving us as consumers. And the premise of the company was asked, you know, why can't business applications be just as easy as using a website? You know, so the first iteration of Salesforce was, you know, to manage customers, and it was designed to look just like Amazon. We figured if people could use Amazon, people could use this.
Oh, really? Now, talk to me about where it fits now, because I think a lot of people think that Salesforce is for large companies to deal with in kind of almost like a PeopleSoft type thing, which is, you know, way upstream from where the average person kind of, you know, dips their toe into internet waters. But you do come back even to the small entrepreneurial type companies, don't you?
The very smallest, right down to the individual person who's using our service. So we have more than 100,000 customers worldwide, more than 6,000 here in Canada. And everything from, you know, an individual plumbing store, a mom and pop shop, or a financial advisor or an insurance agent, you know, all the way up to Canada's largest companies like, you know, Sun Life or TD or Porter, you know, or even, you know, pharma companies like Bayer in Canada.
So talk to me about the smallest companies, about how they would use it. Give me some examples of where it fits in their day.
Sure. So if you look at the suite of what Salesforce provides, right, we provide solutions to help companies sell, service, market, and also deliver them cloud platforms, which really is, you know, an innovation engine for many of these companies. I'll give you one example. There's a great company here in Ontario and based out of London called Voices.com. And if you go to our website, you can get their whole story. But, you know, David Cicirelli is the CEO there, and he started it with just, you know, him and his wife. So they had two licenses. And what their business is that they've created a service that matches voice talent. You know, today there's more ebooks than ever before, more advertising and so forth. That's kind of what they do. Today, they have 25 employees. Everybody uses Salesforce. You know, they don't want to manage the technology. They're not buying data centers. They're not buying servers or hardware. They just want to sign up and use a service.
So at the beginning level, would they have just been basically keeping a shared database of potential clients and leads and that sort of stuff? Because that's actually something that's difficult to do, just using your monolithic email, whatever your contact manager is, et cetera. So is that really where they a lot of the different companies just start out? Is just the common resources that the company needs are managed through Salesforce?
Well, sure. And, you know, if you go to our website, you can sign up for a free trial, right? So you can go and check it out yourself. And we have solutions that are right down to $5, you know, a user a month. You know, so if you just want to be able to manage your customers and be able to have it on your mobile device, you know, and have that connectivity or share that with a couple of different people. You know, we have different editions that serve different, you know, different types of businesses.
And I think that's probably where a lot of us didn't realize that you scaled down quite that small. We probably thought you had to be like a 20-person company before you could start to take advantage. But obviously, that's not the case.
Yeah, we're about a third today, Steve. And, you know, back when we started serving small and medium-sized businesses because 14 years ago, it was about you could have the same tools as the world's largest companies and, you know, you just in a model that you can afford and can consume because lots of small companies don't have the financial or the technology background and resources to run, you know, high availability data, you know, data centers and backups and security where they get that when they're using something like Salesforce.com.
And I guess the beauty is if you start out small, as you grow, you can add extra functionality that you offer to the larger companies as it becomes relevant for your firm.
Yeah, certainly. You can move up editions. So you can move up to a mid-level or a high-end edition. And it's really empowering because, A, it's a cost that you only pay for what you know you need. So if you want three users, that's great. If you want to add another five, you can go ahead and add them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how has...
And so it's really easy for companies to scale. And I know, you know, you guys based on the West Coast and a lot of your listenership, you know, great companies... Steve, I was just going to mention that there's great companies out there. One of them specifically, Avigilon. Mm-hmm. They're one of the fastest growing companies in North America. I think they're number 8 on Deloitte's list. They're growing at 30,000% in revenue. They do like high definition security cameras.
Okay.
And we did an event there in Vancouver back in January, and they talked about how the cloud is really empowering them and enabling them to scale and grow.
And you mentioned the cloud, and I have to think that you've been surprised in some ways by what the cloud has done. How has it changed the business landscape and the way that companies do business?
Well, I think that what the cloud has really enabled companies to do today is to have a thought about what they want to do and be able to get to a solution much, much quicker than in the old world, right? In the old world, you had to go and build data centers and buy hardware and software, and it was a time-consuming thing. And oftentimes, these things took years to develop. Mm-hmm. Today, if you think about how fast the market is happening, you know, we're in a social and a mobile world now. This stuff happens really, really quickly. You need to be able to get to market fast. You need to be able to react in the marketplace quickly. You can't wait for, you know, months and even years for your systems to change internally or for you to take advantage. So the cloud has really empowered people to be more real time. And,
And you said something there. You said social.
In this really fast-moving world.
Yeah. You said something there. You said it is a social world. And I think it's that you talked about the development cycle and how we rolled out new businesses or new ideas. The fact is you used to have to do that yourself and maybe with a few focus groups. But now, because of this social nature, you do it as a dialogue with your customers, really. And they are as involved in your product development as you are, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I don't – you said it perfectly. If you look at Salesforce as a customer, or pardon me, as a company and our service that we provide, all of our customers use our same service, right? More than 100,000 customers use it. They customize it for their own use. And we update that 3 times a year. Where we get our updates, where we get our ideas, where we validate what we're going to do is that dialogue that you just described with our customers. More than 80% of our releases 3 times a year are validated by our customers. They tell us what they want.
And, you know, you go back to the sales training 101, and every single good sales trainer in the world tells salesmen the same thing. 80% of sales is listening. And that's exactly what happens when you create a social interaction with your customers. If you can create dialogue with them and listen, that gives you a real business edge.
Well, and if I can expand on that a little further around kind of our mission as a company and what we're helping our customers do is really to become customer companies. So rather than talking about us, if I invert that and talk about the customers that we empower, they know that things are happening really fast, right? We talked a little bit about social. We talked about mobile. Everybody's got a device now, right? The technology refresh has come through. There's also this Internet of Everything where all of our things are now connected. You know, whether you're, you know, using a toothbrush that, you know, knows how long you're brushing your teeth, or a camera that's connected, or a Fitbit, or a, you know, Nike Fuel Band, these things are all connected. And so there are a new level of empowered customers, or their levels of expectations have now changed about how you are to engage with them. You know, so if you look at a company like TD Bank here in Canada, you know, who uses Salesforce, one of our products, Radian 6, to listen on social media to their customers. And so, you know, when you're asking questions about, you know, who's got a great credit card, or if you're in line and you have a question at a bank in a branch and you're tweeting it, somebody's listening. There's, you know, an entire group at TD that's listening and engaging and responding to customers, because that's where they are today.
That is, to me, the profound change in that cloud computing and social technology has done for us. It's just created entirely new levels of engagement. You folks obviously are right in the heart of that entire process. The website, if you are interested, is salesforce.com. As Rennie mentioned, there are several different versions that people can try. If you are interested and you think it might be something that you want to try out for your business or your small business or your entrepreneurial venture, they have free trials of even the most basic and simple tools, and it gives you an opportunity to grow with the same technology that the largest businesses in the world run on. Remy, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
You know, Art, I was a bit concerned about doing a story on Salesforce because it is such a kind of a higher-end tool. But I think we explained it pretty well. I think we kind of put it all into perspective. Now, you and I have to have a conversation about next week's show, and we also have to come to some sort of consensus about whether or not the famous Dottotech Beer and Wings night was worthwhile as a venture, and whether we should be doing it again for the next App Wednesday.
Answer is yes.
To what?
To both.
Well, next week, I am in Victoria on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It's your assistant. Probably
you
didn't get the memo?
Your assistant
you didn't
get
the memo because your email is how full?
Yeah, but I always get the new messages.
I'm over there. It's social media week. It's social media, not social media week. Excuse me.
There's social media camp.
Social media camp next week. And I am emceeing the awards over there, the social media awards, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to wear a tux.
Ooh.
They don't know that yet. But
you probably shouldn't
Dotto
have said
out
it.
For a classy event, and I'm going to be a classy dude. So I'm wearing a tux. But what?
Hold on. Is it one of those like fluorescent blue tuxes from Dumb and Dumber, or like a...
No, it's a set. It's tails. I'm actually going to wear tails.
Okay.
See, you know what? Well, you saw me. Remember that play I did?
Yes.
Lend Me a Tenor?
Mm-hmm.
I bought a set of tails for that. A pair of tails.
Wow.
Yeah. A tail. A pair of tails? Pair of tail.
Tails. Tails.
Yeah. But it's why is it a pair of plurals? It's a pair of pants, too. It's not a pair of pant. Yeah, that's true.
Moving on.
Yes. So at any rate, so we have to figure out, I think we should do something from Victoria next week. We should try and figure out a way to do some sort of remote.
When do you come back?
I think I come back Wednesday.
You think you come back Wednesday?
I'm there Monday night, Tuesday. I come back Wednesday. I can come back anytime on Wednesday.
All yeah. right.
I guess we could do the show here.
Come on. The people want
it
you.
It would have been
Steve.
So exciting doing a remote. Because, you know, when we do the remotes, it is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Although people try and sit at my desk. By the way, David Hathaway bought himself a new car. He bought himself one of those Scion sports cars. He's like going through some midlife crisis or something. I don't know.
Well, first it's the kites.
Yeah, well, he's off to Australia for kites, so he's not going to be there. So let's get to App Wednesday now. Last App Wednesday, we had a beer and wine night, beer and cheese night, beer and wings night.
Wings.
Yeah, that's right. I was going from classier to not so classy. At Hudson's Landing Pub there in South Vancouver, in the south side of Vancouver. And you think it was a success? Do you think people had a good time?
I do think people had a good time. No. It was good to, and it ran the gamut of people who came out.
Yes.
Some of your fans who saw you at a show, and
yeah.
some of your business partners. The
yeah.
entire show was there.
Yeah, and we had about 25 people, I'd say. It, a little less than registered, turned out, but we had about 25 people, which was good. Now, I don't know whether or not that's good for a, you know, kind of a tweet up or a turnout like that or not, if it was a good number. But you think it was fun. You'd want to do it again.
Well, I never say no to beer and wings.
But it wasn't even free, because you did have to pay.
I realize
that. I had to
cover
you.
It's weird when you do it by yourself at a bar. So the fact that there's other people around makes it seem less sad for me.
Okay, so we will do that. We will put it out again. We'll put it up on the site, and we'll put it. We'll create an event in Eventbrite for it. Do we have a date for it yet?
We haven't
figured out a date for it, have we?
May 15th or the 22nd.
Is that those are the dates?
Well,
okay.
That's up to you.
Well,
it's the Dotto Tech show.
I love doing the scheduling live on the show as we do this stuff. We'll probably go for the 15th. Yeah. Is that enough time to get people out? I think it's so.
Your fans? They will flock to you.
They will flock to us. Yes. Okay. We'll do it for the 15th. So that will work. I think that'll be just fine. And so, yeah, so and anybody that hasn't registered yet for the social media camp on Vancouver Island or that's over there is still thinking about going. It starts on Tuesday, Wednesday. I think it extends to Thursday, but I won't stay a Thursday. But it's
so this social media camp, is this just a bunch of people on Twitter, on their iPhones? Like, will there be any discussion between, like, live speaking between people? Or will it all be done through social media?
Are you just being – you're just being
– I'm just curious. I've never been. So I don't know for sure.
Do you want to come? I can probably get you a ticket.
It seems like I got a lot of stuff to do.
Okay. Yes, there is people really talking to each other, but it's all about presentations and teaching, and they're speakers on all sorts of social media related topics, from the social side of social media through to the technical side of social media. It should be a pretty good event.
You let me know what the hashtag is, and I can follow along live.
The hashtag will be Social Media Camp.
That makes sense.
But you should just be following the hashtag DottoTech, because anything I'm involved in, people should hashtag me in, I think.
You think every time that, because you're the biggest star there, obviously.
I am not the biggest star there. I'm not. There's some big social media luminaries there. I should know who they are, and I don't. I'm looking them up right now.
Will the guy from Facebook be there?
Will the guy from Facebook be there? I'm pretty sure everybody there is on Facebook, if that's what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the guy who started Facebook.
You're talking about the guy who started Facebook.
I forgot his name. I saw the movie, though. That would be a coup if they got him.
No, the guy who started Facebook, I don't think, will be there. But they've got Sam Fiorella, CC Chapman, big, 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 big time social media dude.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Smith, who's also huge. Amy Porterfield and Jamie Stein, are the keynotes. All great. And I'm looking forward to listening to as many of them as I have time to. So I'll have, yeah, it should be really good. And then I'm hosting the social media awards in a tux.
I kind of wish I was there now.
Why?
Look, because you're making it sound amazing.
It should be pretty good. It should be pretty good. I think that's it. Are we wrapped up?
We're good.
We're good to go.
I want to get to that game.
Oh, that's right. You got to get downtown. Are you going to SkyTrain or are you going to drive?
I think I'm going to drive.
And we SkyTrained it in for the game when we went last week. It was pretty good. Fans weren't very happy on the way home. They were grumpy.
Oh, well, obviously.
Yeah.
But tonight they're going to be excited.
But there was a lot less crush of people on the SkyTrain on the way home than I thought there would be. I think a lot of people left early, frankly, from that game. So what's your prediction for tonight then?
Well, looking at all the other games, a lot of like 2-1 scores. I'm thinking tonight will be pretty tight. just because they're getting a feel for each other. I'm saying like a 3-2 Canucks.
Okay.
3-2 Canucks. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that. I don't have a lot of confidence in the team this year.
Well, one of us has to, and that'll be me.
Good. You go for it.
Thank you.
4-1 Sharks.
4-1 Sharks.
I'm just saying it. I just threw it out there.
I don't know if I want to be back here next
week. Just because I'll be the only one that'll be right in the whole city if I am, and I'll be able to go, no, 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 no. And if they're not, if the Canucks win, everybody forgets what I said.
That's very smart. That's good call.
Good call. Okay. That's it. We will see you again next week for more Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.